Newsom, Salama, thank you. Welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Akwan on community-supported KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You can also join us via our live stream on YouTube at ktoo.org/JPMLive or on KTOO's Instagram and Facebook pages. Coming up on this blustery Thursday, October 16th, it's time to Roll for Your Life, a live tabletop role-playing game or TTRPG live show happening this Saturday night for a singular adventure with local game master Connor Lendrum and four eager game players. We find out more about this unique event. Juno Nordic Ski Club youth programs are beginning soon. Tristan Knutson-Lombardo is here to give us the rundown. And the University of Alaska Southeast is having a community open house this weekend. Plus, they just announced a new tuition program. We find out more about that today. Those conversations coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. And a programming note, Juno Afternoon will be off tomorrow, Friday, October 17th. But you can catch special coverage of the Alaska Federation of Natives conference happening in Anchorage. This one-hour special from Alaska's Native Voice will be focused on the rich storytelling tradition in Alaska Native culture and how radio stations play a role in keeping that tradition alive. They also offer much more to the communities they serve, especially in rural Alaska. Radio stations provide emergency alerts, news and information, and cultural programs. Tribal and rural radio stations are now at risk of going dark after the elimination of federal funding. That will be tomorrow at 3 p.m. in place of Juno Afternoon with a re-air at 7 p.m. And you can catch full day coverage of the entire AFN conference on KTOO 360 TV today, tomorrow, and Saturday.
Support comes from Nugget Alaskan Outfitter with outdoor clothing, gear, and footwear, including Gruden's deck boots and flip-flops, and extra tough boots for both men and women. Located at the Mendenhall Mall and online at nuggetoutfitter.com.
Hansen Gress, ka eat with the shu yi, we ka shuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta ka na kaya ha ane kak, gunil cheesh.
You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Ok-Bay, and online at kto.org. I am your host, Boston Christopher. If that song doesn't get you in the mood, I don't know what will. Little Ronnie James Dio, Rainbow in the Dark from, gosh, I don't know, the early 80s, I believe. It's a long-time headbanger. But this weekend, you can step into the world of adventure and the unknown. The Juno Arts and Humanities Council, along with Perseverance Theater, is presenting Roll for Your Life, a live tabletop role-playing game, which is happening at Perseverance this Saturday, October 18th, for one night only. It's got a game master and four players ready to dive into a clever and terrifying world. I am here with the co-producers. First, the game master, Connor Lendrum. Gunath Cheesh for being here, Connor. Wasiyati, how you doing?
Gushis, thanks for having me. I'm so, so glad to be here again, Boston. It really means a lot. Hello, yeah. Juno.
Hello, Juno. And I also have, secondly, we have player Zach Pease. Gunath Cheesh, welcome, Zach. How you doing?
Gushis, thanks for having me, Boston. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pleasure. Okay, so before we get into details,
mm-hmm,
we have to set the scene for those who may not know.
Who is the game master now, boss?
Yeah, exactly. I am the game master. So let's start with, what in the heck is a tabletop role-playing adventure or game?
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to talk about this. A TTRPG, a tabletop role-playing game, is a game where often conflated with board games, not a board game. You can have elements like that on there, but basically it is about people sitting together and agreeing to participate in a fictional world and scenario inhabiting a characters that are different from themselves using the mechanics of whatever this game happens to be. Famous examples of TTRPG are Pathfinder, Call of Cthulhu, Shadowrun, and of course most famous Dungeons and Dragons. And then through adjudication and guidance from the game master, face different foes and problems and overcome them or fail to do so. And that, broadly speaking, is what a TTRPG is.
Yeah, it's just getting together with your friends and cooperatively telling a story for the long and short of it, you know?
Yeah, and the term Game Master is also synonymous with Dungeon Master. That's one I've heard before. But is it morphed over time from Dungeon Master to Game Master? Because not every adventure takes place in a dungeon.
Absolutely. In fact, I would like feel very confident saying the majority of them do not. But Dungeon Master is sort of specifically D&D. And then Game Master is a more general term for TTRPGs more broadly.
Okay. So I have so many questions. So if you are getting together with your friends and you do this and you tell a story and that sounds fun and there's a Game Master who is telling these stories or guiding the players through this adventure.
Absolutely.
Why in the world do it live in front of an audience?
There are a lot of reasons. To be perfectly honest, there's kind of a cultural moment right now. Mm-hmm. This is something where this has become a form of entertainment over the last 15 years, very slowly moving from a private performance amongst your peers into something done for entertainment. And so, like all forms of entertainment that are performance art, why do it in front of other people instead of just doing it at home? There is an element to sharing it with your community and with other people that is the inherent connection of being involved in a story together. But I think something really specific to this that is different is that most performance art that we are familiar with as audience members is preordained. And while there is suspense through story craft and through performance and character motivations, et cetera, the suspense for going to a TTRPG show is so much more sincere in a certain way because the players themselves also do not know what's going to happen. And the game master doesn't necessarily know what's going to happen. They may know more than everyone else, but the dice will decide and the players will decide. And all of those things together bring it to a really unique experience.
We'll get into a little bit of the details about the experience, how it works. But so for context, people out there may have heard of a show that's on the internet, Critical Role. That's probably one of the most famous ones, the most famous one.
Yeah.
And that has been around now for a number of years with a bunch of voice actors in LA who had their game and they started just streaming it and, and making it happen on their downtime. And there's been some other famous actors who have had stories like on entertainment programs about their home games Hollywood. The big guy, Joseph
Mangione.
Yeah, Mangione or Mangione. Yeah, he's got a big game that I know is very famous. There's been videos on that I've seen on the news.
Yeah, Deborah Ann Wall is another one. Yeah. I believe Vin Diesel also plays.
Vin Diesel, yeah.
Vin Diesel actually wrote an intro to one of the 3.5 Dungeons and Dragons books.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
He's been playing for a really, really long time.
Yeah, I know he's involved in some video games, too, that are based on this idea, too. A lot of video games are role-playing games that come from the world of TTRPGs, some like Pathfinder, which is one of the main ones, like Dungeons and Dragons, has a whole series of games made by Owlcat that they've created. So there's a lot of people who might know of this on the periphery, and I'm just trying to give them context of like, why would they want to go see this show, right? But it's a, so it, in essence, you're saying like, Zach, as a player, like Connor's saying, you don't really know what's going to happen. So is it like, does it feel like live improv in some way?
Yeah, so that's exactly where I was going to jump in and kind of say it's total long form improv. Connor presents us with some framework, and as players, we really have taken, we've been rehearsing for 2 months. Mm. And so we've really gotten to learn our characters. But every single session has been a new story. And mm-hmm. we have no idea what's going to happen on Saturday. It'll be a brand new story to us.
So for this show on Saturday, is it because I know sometimes people spend years playing these campaigns, you know, weekly, monthly, whatever it might be. Right. Is this one designed on Saturday to be one night and sort of wrap up in some way, whether win or lose?
Yeah, it's an interesting clip. It's a glimpse. The audience gets a glimpse into these characters' lives. Nimbus and the Contradictions is what the party's called. And mm-hmm. we're in a band. We're all mm-hmm. in a band together. And we're a very famous band. And we're a very, very famous adventuring party because we've been doing both for a long time.
Exactly.
And so there is some context that as an audience member throughout the show, because we've spent the time developing these characters in this relationship, you'll get hints to kind of the lives we've lived together and the lives we've lived separately. And so it's just a little glimpse into an adventure that we've gone on or that we're going to go on with enough context to have it be a one shot. So it is a one off, but they're with characters that have relationships with each other, and we've spent a long time improvising once a week and sometimes more than once a week and shooting text messages and emails back and forth about how our characters are in relationship together and kind of building that backstory and collaboratively building that backstory together so that when we sit down for the show, mm-hmm. it's not discombobulated and
right.
it feels
you have
like
a history.
Yeah, yeah, it feels exactly. like our characters actually do know each other because
now,
they do know each other.
You have you've had this group, we're going to talk about who they all are here in a second, but you have this group together for this show. Is this a group that has been doing campaigns together, or have you all been playing separately and you brought this group together for
yeah.
this?
Yeah, so we had a 2 month long audition period.
Exactly. So yeah, I had the opportunity to start organizing this show through the Jack, through Zach's effort. I started reaching out to both people I knew as TTRPG players and people I knew just as performers, because both of those sort of different sets of skills can be like taught across.
Hold on 1 second. Let me just check my – I don't think I see an email or a message about that to me.
Oh, you know, I here's the thing. I will admit I did sort of keep it very much in like who do I already sort of like interact with a lot, because it felt very risky.
Uh-huh.
And it still does, to be honest.
Yeah.
It feels very much of a thing of like, I didn't feel like I should shoot too high, Boston, if that helps.
Good save.
And that was a big part of it. I tried to be like, okay, like who else wants to start at the bottom with me on this project? And so we did a 2 month audition process, different combinations of four players so that we could sort of suss out like who had good chemistry together, who understood sort of the basic premise of what we were doing. And then after that, like, you know, like any audition process, made offers, invitations like, hey, like we would love for you to be on the team. And then we moved into our formal practices. And practice is really the right word. It's not really a rehearsal, because with the rehearsal, it's like we're doing the same thing over and over again until we get really good at it. Whereas like practice, like a sports practice, is this is a skill that we are going to practice and get sharper. And so it would be like this week, like at the top, I would say, like, all right, everyone, like here, we do warm-ups and everything and get like set and get focused. I'd be like, today we are going to be really focused on no dead time. We're going to focus on momentum. Mm. And like, okay, great, awesome. Then next time we're going to really focus on mechanical speed, like know what you're going to do before your turn starts and roll your attacks and your damage at the same time. And like, so practicing all these different discrete elements so that at the end it has all glued together into like one cohesive, beautiful model of performance.
Because this is in a sense, it is a show that you're doing on Saturday.
Right. Exactly.
This is Juno Afternoon. We're talking with the guys from Roll for Your Life, which is happening at Perseverance This Theater this Saturday, October 18th. You can go to jahc.org for tickets and information. So this is like a performance you're doing, because if
100%.
You were doing this as like a home game, there could be breaks and you take time off and you have a slice of pizza or whatever, but this you got to have as a show.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that in terms of downtime. Now, Zach, You're one of the players.
Yeah.
Tell us who else is in your band.
We have Kathleen Harper.
That's fantastic.
Yep. Drake Skaggs.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Hicks. And then
okay.
me.
And you. Okay.
Yeah, and it's been a total blast working with all of them. I feel like each one of us brings something different to the table as players, as performers. And it's been a really, really, really cool process to just all collaborate with Connor's phenomenal. And when I say phenomenal, I've been playing D&D and other TTRPGs since I was 9.
Mm.
And I said this to him a few months ago. He's probably top 100 on the West Coast.
Wow.
It's very kind of you.
And I mean that. I've played all over the West Coast. I've played a lot of games. And this guy, the way he paints a world and a picture and puts it in your mind is something completely different.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So speaking to that, Connor, because I know, let's talk about which rules. Are you guys using a specific rule set for this? And I know that sometimes there's pre-made adventures that people choose, or are you crafting this world yourself?
We are using a pre-created set of rules. We are also working in a world that I have written whole cloth. While, of course, you know, any story like this benefits from certain tropes, both for the audience and for the players, it's original settings, original problems. None of that is anything that has been picked up from any other sources. So, like, the plot is all of my own structure, let's say, but it also has room within it for the players to affect what that plot is actually going to be. Mm. It is a very collaborative art form, although, much like you've pointed out, there's going to be a difference between performative TTRPG playing versus at-home TTRPG playing. When I run a game at home, it would be much more of a sandbox of, like, here's a million things you can go do for performing on stage. You know, we want to make sure that, like, there's a pretty narrow scope so that both the audience and the players have like a tight focus, and we can move through it with a sense of momentum and kineticism that will be more entertaining.
Because I've seen, like, on, you know, different shows or different things where, you know, yeah, you could come up with an idea that maybe the GM hasn't even thought of that then they have to deal with.
But
for Saturday, you're kind of choosing more of a this option, or this, you're gonna narrow it down just so you can get through the story for the night.
Absolutely, and yeah. Actually, I see you already said that really quick. The audience is also going to be making decisions on Saturday night.
Okay, so tell me how that's
going to
work.
So we're going to have a relatively simple, like, you know, air quotes, set. We're going to have, like, places set up for us to sit to be, like, functionally playing the game in front of everybody. We're also going to have a large projection behind us. And periodically throughout the game, there are going to be QR codes put up where people can scan them and are going to vote on things, whether rewards or dangers or consequences or silly little bits that will occur in the world because the audience voted on which thing is going to happen. And this is going to come down to the core story as well. There's going to be a point where three different options for this story are going to sort of unfold. That'll be like the main core meat of what the players will be having to deal with. Mm. And the audience is going to pick which one we pursue.
Ah, that's going to be really
Goosebumps
fun.
Goosebumps style, you know?
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So it is like a choose-your-own-adventure for the players as well as the audience.
Yeah.
The only one who really knows what's going on is you, Connor.
I have the most perspective, but even I do not have all of it.
Right, because I wonder if obviously for this sort of performative idea, you have to contain it a little bit. But I'm just curious, like, as a GM, when you've been in a game sometime, mm-hmm. have you ever been completely thrown by a player's suggestion about what to do? What they want to do? They go, hey, I want to cast whatever my spell is, and I want to jump off this thing. Have you ever had something like that?
I want to eat a bunch of seaweed.
Yeah. and you go, okay, what do I do with that? How do you handle that as a GM?
Those are some of my favorite moments.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It is so electric to be in that moment, to be like, how do I say yes to this, because mm-hmm. I'm being presented with a gift where mm-hmm. I now have to do what my players are having to do all the time, which is sort of really think on my feet. And it is very rarely a, like, if it's that wild, a, like, completely straight, like, yes, you get exactly what you want. Usually, it is a sort of implied negotiation where I'm like, okay, I see what your goal is. I see how you're doing it. That is changing the scenario, and we're going to change it. But this scenario is also going to change right back on you. And so I get to then change the world in response to what they've done in a way that creates this sort of tension, you know, which is what you look for in a story.
As a player, Zach, what is that experience like to come together as a group and make that decision to try to move forward in the story?
Yeah, something that Connor's encouraged us to do since day one is swing big.
Absolutely.
And make big choices. And so we've built all this trust amongst the five of us, and it's been really great as someone who's pretty comfortable taking big swings and making big choices in a storytelling format. To have the freedom as a player to do so. There was this session where we were supposed to bet on which sea turtle basically could eat the most seaweed in this gambling den of this,
exactly,
you know, guy on this dock who was a criminal. And my character was like, well, I bet I can eat more seaweed than any of these giant turtles. And I failed to do so. but, you know, it was an example of completely changing how the story was going to go in our game master's mind, and instead throwing a choice out there that completely threw off the whole role-playing aspect in a way that was really beneficial to the storytelling and the advancement of the plot. And the way that Connor handled it was great, and it made it more fun for all of us. And I think that every single time that we've been given room, where he does give us a lot of room to make these big swings, and we take the chance, and there's just enough trust there and understanding that we all know what we're doing enough to make choices that aren't going to necessarily derail the story, but enhance the story by making big, silly decisions or big, serious decisions. Yesterday at we did a little house show for a small audience to just practice being in front of people. And Drake's character just kicked in the front door, mm-hmm, while the rest of the party was kind of arguing over whether or not we should, and is it trapped? And Drake just was like, "Nah, I'm kicking it in." And then we were, okay, here we are. And that's another great example of somebody just taking the initiative to make a big decision to further the plot along, and Connor being right there with us to, you know, work with the party and collaborate with, you know, the whole story to make sure that it goes in the directions it needs to go. And so it's just been really a great time being able to swing like that.
And the choices come out of the characters that you've all made,
right,
because they're all unique and they have their own. We don't have time to go into all that.
Right.
Classes and different things like that, what kind of people they are, mm-hmm, and whether they're strong or whether they are charismatic.
You got to come to the show to find out.
You got to come to the show. So that, again, is...
Actually, Boston, can I really say really quick? So if you are interested in finding out more about the characters before the show...
Oh, you have something.
Tonight,
okay,
we are doing a TTRPG character open mic at Alaska Robotics. It's from 6 to 8. It's free. Everyone's invited. And if you are in this world, you play Pathfinder, you play Call of Cthulhu, you haven't been playing, but you have character ideas you're really excited about, because that's half of the fun of being a TTRPG, mm-hmm, nerd, is just talking about your character ideas. Come tonight and you get 5 minutes. You get to tell us about your ability combos. You get to talk about your backstory. You get to talk about what your character looks like. And all four players and myself are going to be there tonight, and they will all also be talking about their characters. So it's a chance to meet the characters before the show if you really want to know.
And that's tonight at Alaska Robotics at what time?
From 6 to 8, free of charge.
6 to 8, tonight, Thursday, October 16th. But the show, Roll for Your Life, is this Saturday at Perseverance Theater, October 18th. What time does it start?
Doors at 6:30, show starts at 7.
Show starts at 7, and you can go to jahc.org for more information and tickets. And where do people follow beyond if they can't make it Saturday? Is there some way we can follow this group for future endeavors?
Honestly, not really at this moment. We've very much been focusing on, like, let's do this right once before we even think about the idea of doing future ones. So far, things are all going really well. It's certainly a possibility, but we have not made any official decisions about whether or not we're going to do future performances, and we don't have any kind of, like, Facebook group or Instagram page,
not
or
yet,
OnlyFans or any of those things.
Okay. All right, Connor Lindrum and Zach Pease, thank you so much. Gwyneth Cheese for coming in today. Really appreciate it. Break a leg on a Saturday.
Thank you so much, Boston. Really quick, thank you so much to our sponsors, Alaska Robotics and Riddle Valley Games.
And our partner, Perseverance Theater.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Here's a little Sounds Wild.
Sounds Wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. The sun is rising over the greening expanse of the Minto Flats State Game Refuge, 50 miles southwest of Fairbanks. It's a chilly morning, but the emerging green vegetation shows that it is definitely spring. The large brown shoulder hump of a huge wood bison appears as the shaggy animal moves across muddy ground. The bison's bulky head and iconic upcurved horns come into view, and the big bison passes by. Another bison passes behind it, followed by another and another, all moving purposefully into the black spruce forest. On May 13th, 2025, 61 wood bison, including one newborn calf, were released into the wild on the Minto Flats State Game Refuge, establishing the second wild population of wood bison in the United States. This new herd is called the Lower Tanana Wood Bison Herd. The animals were barged into the area in the summer of 2024 and held in a 100-acre soft-release pen over the winter. With the flush of new green vegetation on the landscape, the time was right to open the gates of that pen and set the bison free. Fish and Game biologists will closely monitor the herd for years to come as they establish themselves. For Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I am your host, Boston Christopher. The weather outside may be frightful, but it is certainly a delightful sight for many who are getting ready for the upcoming ski season, including the youth of Juno. I now welcome Tristan Knutson-Lombardo with details on the upcoming Juno Nordic Ski Club youth programs, as well as other things going on with the Juno Nordic Ski Club. Gunnith Cheesh, Ha'igudi, thank you so much for coming in. It's a pleasure to see you again, Tristan.
Gunnith Cheesh, thank you.
And do you want to introduce your partner in crime here?
This is my partner in crime, Jasper, to radio left or radio right. I'm not sure.
It's all good. Let's see, on screen, it's on right, and in Radio Land, it's all good.
I forgot we're on streaming
yeah. as well.
You awesome. Know,
yeah, and on the audio. So appreciate you both for being in here today. So let's just talk a little bit about, for maybe those who've moved to Juno, new to this fall, like tell me a little bit about the Juno Nordic Ski Club and what y'all do.
I'm going to say, even if you've been in Juno for a while, a lot of people probably haven't heard of the Juno Nordic Ski Club. We are Juno's hub for all things Nordic skiing in Juno. So if you've ever been out in the wintertime on your skis, skiing groom trail, that is us. That's the Nordic Ski Club. We groom as many as seven different spots around town, from North Douglas, way out the road to Eagle Beach.
Oh.
In between the Mendenhall Campground, Montana Creek, Salmon Creek. So if you've been out on the lake in the wintertime when it's beautiful and sunny, and you can thank the Juno Nordic Ski Club and our awesome volunteers for that.
Are you like the trail mix of winter trails?
Yeah. I mean, you could kind of say that, yeah.
A little bit.
If trail mix is listening, I swear we're not trying to step on your toes.
But you're taking care of the ski trails and things like that, the different paths that people are taking in the winter and all that kind of stuff. And for those who don't know, and I'm speaking for me, what does it mean? What does the Nordic part of the ski club mean? What does the Nordic mean?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of people think of Nordic skiing, and they think of what looks like maybe walking or sliding on skis, one leg in front of the other, with a detached heel. There's that classic style skiing. There's also skate skiing, where it's, you know, like the same as ice skating, but you're on skis. So you see those two different techniques of people out there skiing. It all kind of falls under the Nordic skiing. It's less about going strictly with gravity or a chairlift, but doing everything under your own kind of effort and glide.
So it's not cross country, it's not downhill, it's its own thing.
It is cross country. Cross country is definitely the like the layperson's term for Nordic. Some people might seem a little more like highfalutin to say Nordic.
But I mean, it sounds better than Juno Cross Country Ski Club, right?
I use them interchangeable, but you're right. I think Juno Nordic Ski Club just rolls.
That's a pretty good name.
A little better.
Okay, so you're just basically, you're helping with the trails and you want to get people out skiing.
Yep. Our goal is to get more people on skis more people on skis more often on more groomed kilometers. So one of the ways we do that, in addition to all the trail grooming, which I should say, TrailMix has actually been a great partner with us in maintaining our trails, but we also have a pretty robust youth set of youth ski programs, and the registration for those has opened. It is filling up, but we always want to make sure that we get as many people that want to hear about it, a chance to hear about it and try it out. We have the ski club operates two programs now. We have an elementary, a K through 5 junior Nordic program. That's on Sundays starting in January.
Okay.
And then we also have a middle school ski team. It's grades 6 through 8. I know those names are a little confusing because the Juno schools have rearranged themselves in the last couple of years, but we do consider middle school 6th through 8th grade. And then we also support the high school ski team. So any high school student in Juno, whether you're at Juno Douglas, Yakustak Ahidi, a homeschool student, you can go out for the JDHS ski team, and we support and help that team as well.
I see. Okay.
And the really cool thing that I think is important for anyone listening, because a lot of people, especially if your child is older or if you yourself are older youth and think, I've never been skiing before, there is a spot for you on all of our programs. You don't have to have ski experience. We provide low-cost equipment rentals, and we offer our programs on a sliding fee scale. So we really just want to make sure that if you're interested in skiing, come ski with us. That's our.
Have you ever thought of maybe using ages instead of grades for the? Because I know it's all getting wackadoodle out there in the way they do it in terms of that. But because basically, like 6th to 8th grade is like what, like 9 or 10 to 12 or something like that. I'm just thinking maybe. For people who are
that might be
out
a little
there.
Off, but maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I don't actually know. I haven't done that in a
long
time.
Well, it's a great idea actually, because we have been like we should maybe change the middle school, and it's not quite jiving with the school district anymore. But,
but it's basically if you feel like you're all you really need to do is check with Juno Nordic Ski Club.
Exactly.
Tell them how old your kid is, what grade they're in, and then they'll figure out where the right place is.
Exactly.
Now, you said, do all of these programs begin in January, or?
The middle school and the elementary school programs, yes, those begin in January. The high school team starts November 3rd is the start of their season. And so if you, November you know, 3rd. So it's in a couple weeks. And of course, there's a little bit of some people might join a week or two in because they heard about it late or for whatever reason. But it is coming up and snow will be here before we know it.
I know. And that's what I was going to say is because it feels like January is a good time because you pretty much know that there's going to be snow coming by then, right? In terms of that. I mean, with the way the weather is today, the winter's going to be long and dark and cold and hopefully some snow, not just wet. So that's great. So, and then do people have to, for those who may be new, let's say, to, let's say they have a youngster, the youngest age is what, what'd you say it was? It was
kindergarten. Yeah.
So they want to get somebody started. Do you help out like with equipment that they can borrow or like, do I have to have anything for my kid to partake in this, like in terms of equipment or what?
You are welcome to bring your own equipment if you have it or if you want to find it. But we know that that's one of the biggest barriers of entry to our sport. So we happily provide very low-cost rentals that you keep for the whole season. So whether you want to use it just at the practices or you want to go out on your own, we even let you keep it a little before and a little bit after the program so that you can, if there's snow, you can get out and ski as much as you want. And the nice thing about that is that we know ski equipment, so we also make sure that the stuff we give out is high quality, is going to give you, you know, the best glide you can possibly get. Yeah, we just try to make it easy.
And what kind of things do the youth programs do? Do they go up to where are they going? I mean, not Eagle Crest, but they're going out to the different trails. And are you going to a different trail every week, or do you start by some training and figuring out how to get everybody on the same page, or how does it begin?
It's a great question, and I'll start by saying, if you remember last winter, it felt like, gosh, we just had a really wet winter, and I don't remember a lot of snow at sea level. We actually managed to groom the Nordic Ski Club. We had over 100 days of trail grooming. So think of all that rain we had on those rainy days. There were still, because of our little microclimates around town, our ski trails that we do groom, a lot of them are in these places that they collect snow faster, they hold on to it longer. If there's snow, we are skiing it. And sometimes that means we're finding it up at Eagle Crest on the Nordic Loops there, or we're going out to Eagle Beach. Montana Creek Trail out by the, for those that don't know where that is, it's off the Montana Creek Road out by the Hank Harmon Rifle Range. That's probably our most reliable ski trail, that and the Mendenhall Campground. It's easy for them to gather snow. It's cooler there. And we hit the ground skiing like right away as soon as there's snow. And we'll go where there's snow. So it does move around. To answer your question, we do move around to different spots around town.
And you can go to jnski.org for all of the information. Like Tristan said, the signups are beginning now, and they do fill up because there's only so many spaces that are available for that. Is there a cost for the class?
The high school and middle school teams are on a sliding fee scale, so it's more or less pay. Here's what we suggest, but pay as you can. We just really want to make sure that if you're interested, you can get out. The junior Nordic, the elementary program on Sundays, is just a flat $100 for the whole season.
The whole season. So, okay, cool. And then you said there's some other stuff going on. I know you mentioned Montana Creek. There's something going on at Montana Creek this weekend, right?
Yep. Many folks are aware that we've had some slides and down trees for this fall from all the weather. Well, Montana Creek has also gotten it pretty bad. So we've actually had a number of volunteers up there this month clearing trees and moving muck and digging ditches. We're going to have a big work party this Saturday from 9 to 3 up there. There's information on our website. So if you are interested in helping us get the trail ready for skiing, it's a fun time, a good group of people. Trail Mix has been a huge partner and help in getting us organized to do that. So it's this Saturday. We welcome all volunteers. We provide most of the tools. We just want hands and good energy.
I love that. And before we have to wrap up, is there anything coming up for the adults, the over 18 crowd, like in terms of classes or groups to get to join or whatnot?
Yeah, we have a number of things. One of them is we have a really popular adult, we call it Adult League. It's a group that wants to get together. It's not a learn to ski, but if you can stand up on your skis and make a lap around the campground, then it's a group that can be for you. And they get together once a week for workouts and training and camaraderie. And then we also have some women's ski ups, like meetups, but on snow, that happen usually about once a month in the wintertime. And we're going to do some beginner Saturdays as well. So we're going to put, it's not all, the dates aren't finalized yet, but it will be on our website. And we encourage people to just keep checking, and we'll post that. And it's, you know, a lot of it is either low cost or free if you're a member. So come
great.
One, come all.
That's jnski.org, jnski.org. And I'm assuming that you might have like a Facebook page as well.
We have Facebook and Instagram. We're pretty pretty hip.
You're hip. You're up to date on all the socials. You got the socials running. That's cool. Tristan Knutson Lombardo and Jasper in here as well. Thanks for coming in, Jasper.
Yeah. Do you want to say bye, Jasper? Or thanks?
Bye.
Jasper will be there on Sundays with the Junior Nordic program. So,
all right, excellent. Yeah. That's so nice. Well, we really appreciate you coming in. Thanks so much for giving us an update. And I love seeing you because it means that maybe the rain's going away and the snow is coming. That would be great.
I'm a believer.
Yeah, let's be believers. I love it so much. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Gunath Cheesh for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Step into the savory moment. You've just scored. A fisherman was selling whole king salmon at the dock, and you bought a gorgeous 20-pounder for $12 a pound. At the grocery store, you'd be paying at least $25. You're going to fill your freezer at bargain basement prices. Go ahead, enjoy the moment. It won't last long. After you sharpen that fillet knife, you'll be coming face to face with something called a recovery rate, the percentage of usable product left after viscera and bones are trimmed away. According to the Alaska Sea Grant's Marine Advisory Bulletin number 37, the recovery rate on a king salmon from whole fish to skin on fillets is about 57%. You're still left with a lot of king salmon, about 11.5 pounds. The real surprise comes when you break out your calculator to find the finished price per pound. It's easy, involving just two numbers, that purchase price and recovery rate. But instead of multiplying, adding, or subtracting the two, you're dividing. $12 divided by 57%. That's 0.57. The number on your screen, $21.05. The edible portion of your king salmon just went from $12 a pound to over $21. Add in your labor and, well, take a minute to recover. Recovery rates for other seafood species include sockeye, 53%, halibut, 49%, black cod, 40%. If you want the skin removed, recovery rates plummet further. Skinless rockfish fillets have a 23% recovery rate, which is why when a processor buys a load of yellow eye at $1.50 a pound, you'll see it at the grocery store for at least quadruple that, but probably more. The processor and the retailer both have to pay employees and make the profit that keeps them in business. Here's the golden rule. The smaller the recovery rate, the more disappointing that number on your calculator. Find a link to Sea Grant Advisory Bulletin number 37 at savorymoment.org. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Short Rhodes. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
You are listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. This Saturday, October 25th, UAS, University of Alaska Southeast, is hosting a community open house between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. on the Auk Bay campus. And UAS also recently announced Alaska Unlocked, in-state tuition to all undergraduates beginning in fall of 2026. And here to give us more insight is Director of Admissions, Brenna Heinz, who is down in Seattle for work and so joins us via the power of the interwebs. Hello, Brenna. How are you doing?
Hi. Hi, Boston. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great. I'm perching in a room on the campus of Tacoma Community College before a college fair this evening. So we're out here spreading the word about UAS.
Spreading the good word. And for those who might be watching on the live stream, you have fantastic earrings on this afternoon.
Oh my gosh, thank you, Copper Canoe Woman. I got them at Kindred Post. You know how we do with our earring game.
The Juno earring game is on point. And represented down in Washington, which I love. So let's talk a little bit first about the community open house that's happening this Saturday. This is something that I think has been going on for a few years now, but it's an awesome opportunity. Can you tell us a little bit about what it is? And we'll start there.
Oh, yeah. And it's actually next Saturday.
Oh, it's so, next Saturday.
It's the 25th.
I did say that earlier. I just in my brain was thinking this Saturday. So the 25th, October 25th. Okay. Yeah. A week from Saturday. Great.
A week from Saturday. Yes. So we actually haven't had one of these large scale community open houses since before COVID. So we're really excited to basically welcome anyone on our campus. This event is primarily geared for prospective students. So it will be really beneficial if you are a high school student who is starting your college search journey, maybe you're a senior and you're actually starting to apply to colleges, or you have...
There's
the flyer.
Yeah, I need to make sure we're both in that scene though before I can bring that. I want to bring the flyer up, but go ahead, keep talking. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, So we're going to have information about how to apply to UAS. We're actually going to help people apply for free if they're ready to apply to a degree program. We're going to have a scholarship fair where we not only have our own financial aid experts there to answer any questions about paying for college or how to apply for aid, but we'll also have local scholarship providers. So people in the community who give scholarships for Juno students. So you can go and learn more about how to get that money to pay for college. So there will be a lot of info. I am looking at courses. What degree programs do you have? How do I apply? But as someone who grew up in Juneau and frankly didn't spend a lot of time on the UAS campus when I was here, what I really want for this event is for anyone in the community to come and find value if they show up. So if you're someone who's like, hey, I just haven't spent a lot of time on your campus and I'm curious about what classes you all offer, right? What research you're doing here, what your space looks like, there will be things for you too. So I want this to feel like this is the community campus, whether or not you have ever taken a class at UAS, or whether or not you're currently thinking about it.
That's excellent. And like you said, it's for those who maybe haven't gone to UAS before. That's who it's mostly geared for, right? And that can be high school students who may be about to graduate. It could be those who are living in the community who may, because as we know, UAS is open to all ages and has all kinds of different degree programs. So if you've been thinking about going back to school or you just haven't been out to UAS in a while and you're like, hey, could I take a couple classes out there? This would be a great opportunity, right?
100%, right? As you said, you know, our student body is incredibly diverse. About half of our students are quote unquote non-traditional, which means over the age of 25, right? People who are accessing higher education at many different points in their life. Some of those are just community members who are taking a ceramics class. Some of those are folks who are going back to get an associate's degree or a certificate to help their career. And then a lot of students are straight out of high school, right? They are coming, they are applying for bachelor's or associate programs, and there will be information for all of those people at this event.
Excellent. Okay. And that's the open house. And obviously, I also see on this flyer here, there's a raffle. You can get a chance to win a tuition waiver. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So we'll have a raffle. We will have like UAS swag, but also tuition waivers. So come if you're interested in taking classes next year, you can enter that raffle. It's totally free of charge. And then you can get some money to pay for a class.
I love that. And speaking of next year, Brenna, there's a really cool thing. I saw it in my inbox and also it's been just out in the world in terms of news that this new Alaska Unlocked initiative. This is really something special. Tell me a little bit about that.
It's really special. So Alaska Unlocked is UAS's new initiative starting fall 2026. So people starting their degree programs or taking classes next fall, we are eliminating non-resident tuition for all undergraduate programs. So that is a reason I'm down here in the Seattle area recruiting students. Really the idea behind this is to make UAS accessible to all students. We have a really competitive tuition rate for a public university generally. So our Alaska students obviously benefit from that in-state tuition rate, but it is very rare for public colleges and universities across the country to charge the same tuition rate for in-state and out-of-state students. And so that's what we're doing. UAS has some of the world's best researchers in things like marine biology, environmental science. We are doing a lot up here, and we want to make sure this place is affordable and accessible to all students. And as we all know, Alaska is expensive, right? If you're coming up here as an out-of-state student, particularly if you're 18, 19 years old, the cost to just get a plane ticket up here, to find housing, to get a car, that's a lot. And so we wanted to eliminate this barrier of non-resident tuition surcharge so we can get more students coming up here and accessing the great programs that we have.
And is that something that is just, it will just apply next year when you're doing your application? You don't even have to do anything, right?
You don't have to do a single thing, right? You just submit your application. This tuition rate will be automatically applied. There's no extra paperwork. There's no special application you have to do. Now, of course, I recommend that everyone applying for college, no matter where they go, apply for financial aid to maximize the amount of money you can get maybe from the US federal government or from outside resources. But in terms of Alaska Unlocked, that tuition rate is just going to be applied straight to your account.
That's so great. Okay, that's two things. Two awesome things that are happening at the University of Alaska Southeast. Is there anything else that we want to mention today, Brenna, coming up?
Really just the open house. And this is the time, if you're a high school senior, to really start working on your college applications. We're pretty lucky at UAS because we're an open enrollment institution that you mentioned at the jump, which means you can apply. We have a very short, simple application. It takes about 15 minutes. And we do what's called rolling applications. So you can apply really any time throughout the year up until August 1st if you want to start classes in the fall. But this is a great time, no matter where you're thinking about, to go on the school's websites, to go to virtual events, in-person events, and ask us if you have questions. If you're listening to this and you're a student or you're a parent of a student and you're like, oh, I'm not sure if UAS is the right school for my kid, come to the open house, check out our programs, but also know that we're a resource for you. I have worked at other colleges and universities down south in the lower 48. And even though I want all of our students to come and take advantage of UAS, my team is also really happy to be a resource for anyone who just needs information about taking their next steps towards higher ed, right? So if you're like, hey, I have questions about how to search for colleges down south, we're going to help you do that. That's what we do as a community, you know, focused organization. And so I want people to see us as that, you know, a resource for college and more.
Awesome. Brenna, thank you so much for joining us. Brenna Hines, Director of Admissions out at UAS. For information about UAS, you can go to uas.alaska.edu. And on the web post for this episode today, I'll post a specific link to the open house happening next Saturday, October 25th from 11 to 3 p.m. out at the Auk Bay campus. Gunashish, have a great time down there in Seattle, Brenna. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Gunash Cheese, thank you so much, Boston.
Okay, you're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Here's the Thlinkit Word of the Week.
You're listening to KTOO's Thlinkit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kakwan Ish George Davis. And the word this week is chart.
Chart.
That means halibut. And here is a sentence.
Chart. A go, C-E.
They cooked halibut for them all to eat. Let's hear it again.
Chart.
Halibut. Ganesh Cheesh to Rene Lance Twitchell, Goldbelt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kahuan Ish, George Davis was Tukdain Tan and the child of a Tsagwedi man. He grew up in Qiq, Cake, Alaska, and learned to speak well because he would always bring traditional foods to the elders there. As someone who fished a lot and spent time on the land, he knew Thlinkit place names all over the area, and he learned many stories and advanced ways of speaking.
Tune in next week for another Thlinkit Word of the Week from KTOO.
That'll wrap it up for today's Juno Afternoon. Local stories, local events, local connection made possible by you via your donation and membership at ktoo.org. Gunath Cheesh. Reminder, the Juno Afternoon is off tomorrow, but you can catch special coverage of the Alaska Federation of Natives Conference happening in Anchorage right now. And you can tune in for full coverage Thursday, that's today, tomorrow and Saturday on KTOO 360 TV. And special programming note, next Tuesday we'll have a special Juno afternoon with the Rain Dogs. They're recording their album and they're doing all kinds of cool stuff. They're going to come on for a full half hour with us next Tuesday at 3 o'clock. Tune in for that. Juno Afternoon does air regularly Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support comes from Alaska Airlines, Club 49, Hanson Grass and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program. with help today from Aaron Tripp. And Gunath Cheesh, for listening today, we're going to go out with a little bit of the lead singer who came in. Anna Mahanner came in and played a little song for us from The Rain Dogs. We'll end today with the song God by The Rain Dogs. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Thank you so much, Gunath Cheesh, for listening.
Only God knows all the things I've done as a sinner. Only Lord knows how I get by. The skin of my teeth looking like I'm not gonna eat this week. Only God knows how I get by. Removing my clothes for some drinks and to pay my bills. Only God knows how I get by.
You're listening to KTOO 104.3 Juno and KAUK 91.7 Juno Ok Bay.